pray.
Almighty God, may the words from my mouth and the words from the scripture be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So if you're ever wondering, why wouldn't a dog attend a Veterans Day parade? There are too many vets. I know. Someone said to me last week, seriously, Pastor, they're getting a little corny. I couldn't help myself. Just like, can't you see these things? You just got to go with it. But to all the veterans, we are just so grateful for your service, not only just to protect our country, but to protect our families and to protect our future. So this morning, I want to tell you a little bit about some other men that are in the scriptures who have done the same exact thing. And we're in a series called The Generosity Challenge. It's been written by Scott McKenzie and Christine Miller, so some of these ideas are theirs, not my own. But one of the challenges for most of us is developing a spiritual discipline of generosity. And no matter where you are on your faith journey, it is my hope that you will discover a new spirit of holistic generosity, faithfulness, and giving of not just money. I mean, that's always a good thing, but also of your heart. That's more important. Your heart to and your whole being to God Almighty. So Jesus told this rich man to go and sell all his possessions and to come follow him. And Jesus just wanted the young man to just give of his whole self. But his problem was that he had too many possessions. Aren't we a little bit like that at times? We are asking, God is asking that we give of our whole heart to become more Christ-like. And Jesus is just saying to us that it's not an easy world that we live in. There's so many distractions and there's so many temptations, but there is a way that we can do it. So the authors have come together with this great kind of cute thing called a GPS. It's a way of being able, like a GPS in your car or on your smartphones, to get us to where we need to go. So the GPS that we're talking about is going to be grounded in our Christ-likeness and how we are all created in God's image. Genesis 1:27 says, God created humankind in his image, the image of God, he created them. Men and females, he created them. We were born with the characteristics of God. And this means that we were born with at least two characteristics that I want to go over with you this morning, and that's love and that's giving. Being loving and being giving. Giving generously out of love. It's ingrained in us from our birth. We were all born to be generous. Our love of stuff always can block our way. It can create the detours that this GPS will bring us back onto a path in which we can be better followers of Jesus Christ. If we use the GPS to get back on our journey, then we're going to draw closer to God. And this first G in our GPS is gratitude. We were born to be generous and grounded in gratitude. So can you say with me this? Yes, I was born to be generous. Yes, I was born to be generous. Yes, I am created in the image of God. Yes, I am created in the image of God. It may be difficult for some of you to actually say that. So if you can't say yes, maybe you can at least say maybe. But let's be honest, we have a hard time sometimes being loving and generous, right? I mean, there are those times. However, it is important for you and I to recognize that we all have the gift of being generous and loving in our DNA. And when we utilize this gift of gratitude, it makes us happier, it makes us healthier, more productive, and evidently it even makes us sleep better. The gratitude is not always enough, though. There's another step in the GPS. It's P. P for prayer. The GPS is revealed in prayer. So how can we have an attitude of gratitude that moves us toward a life of prayer? The authors of the Generosity Challenge describe it this way. They quote, "The act and attitude of prayer moves us from acknowledging our blessings to now offering them back to God. Asking God, how would you have me live? What would you have me do? Based on all that you have given me, all you have done for me, how can I give back? The answer is prayer. So let me say this. Prayer does require a bit or a dose of courage. Why courage? Well, it takes courage to understand that we might not get the same answer that we're looking for. We might end up with a different expectation than what we actually prayed for. One thing I love to do is when I'm working with people, I love hearing their stories of how God has answered his or her prayers. I have never met Lewis Lee Millett Sr., but he left a prayer that I want to share with you in a moment. But let me tell you a little bit about Lewis Millett. He was born December 15, 1920. That's just literally just a few days before my own father was born. And Lewis was a United States Army officer who received the Medal of Honor during the Korean War for leading the last major American bayonet charge. Lewis Millett enlisted in the United States National Guard while still in high school. And then in 1940, he joined the United States Army Air Corps. And when he thought that the United States was not going to be participating in World War II, he literally deserted the U.S. Army Air Corps and went to Canada with a friend, where he joined the Canadian Army, not to be a deserter, but to actually go and be engaged in this war. And when he got there, by the time they actually sent him to London, the United States was now in the fight. And so, of course, he then transferred back to the United States Army and served in Europe. The United States Army, during World War II, he received a Silver Star for literally driving a burning ammunition truck away from a group of soldiers before it exploded. And then during the Korean War, he was awarded the United States Military Highest Honor, the Medal of Honor. The citation explains that he successfully led a bayonet charge against the enemy. He later served in the Vietnam War, and then he retired from the Army in 1979. He died 10 years ago from congestive heart failure on November 14th, 2009. I love his story because Lewis Millett Sr. was not only a dedicated soldier, he was a person who prayed with courage. He may not have received the outcome he wanted when he prayed for many of those friends of his who he served with or people in his life, but he was a man who honored sacrifice and service. And I want you to hear his prayer. It's called an old soldier's prayer. I have fought when others feared to serve. I have gone where others failed to go. I've lost friends in war and strife who valued duty more than love of life. I have shared the comradeship of pain. I have searched the lands for men that we have lost. I have sons who served this land of liberty, who would fight to see that other stricken lands are free. I have seen the weak forsake humanity. I have heard the traitors praise our enemy. I've seen challenged men become even bolder. I've seen the duty, honor, sacrifice of soldier. Now I understand the meaning of our lives, the loss of comrades not so long, very long ago. So to you who have answered duty's siren call, may God bless you, my son. May God bless you all. Most of us find prayers difficult and scary. This is a man, though, that shared his heart and is known not for just his dedication to his country, but this old soldier's prayer. His prayer only asks for a blessing for his son and for all of us. He shares how he fought, how he lost, how he saw, how he served, how he heard, how he challenged others to become bolder. Lewis would go when others failed to go, and he shares how he understands that meaning of our lives for those who answered God's call to serve. Prayer takes courage. It takes us into a part of our spiritual life that helps us grow. So I began to wonder, what do other people actually pray about? Well, in 2017, the Barna Group did a study on how Americans pray. And according to their findings, 79% of Americans actually pray on a regular basis. So in the last, and I've actually found that that's kind of awesome considering 80% of most people don't even go to church anymore, but at least they're praying. But here's what they were praying about. Number one, gratitude and thanksgiving. The needs of family and community. Personal guidance in crisis. Personal health and wellness. Confession and forgiveness. Things he or she suddenly feel compelled to pray about. Safety in one's daily travels. They pray for a sense of peace. Blessings for meals. And specific requests from others. But I found it interesting that no one mentioned praying to listen to God. Or asking God to guide them. Prayer is certainly an act of asking for specific concerns, but prayer leads us in the direction to be our best self. Prayer leads us to being born in the image of God. Prayer leads us to live long and loving, generous lives, and prayer leads us to grow in our spiritual life as well. So when we look at these stories like Millet's and these others who have prayerfully been a part of asking God, there's also these stories of people who are prayerfully willing to be the best that they can be. I want to tell you the story of a man named Abram. He was later renamed Abraham because it means father of many. His story is in the book of Genesis. This imperfect, prayerfully willing man is recognized not only by Christians, but Muslims and Jews alike as one of the founders of our faith in the one true God. I want you to take a look at scripture from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. Here we go. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So he was 75 when he decides to listen to God. So it's not too late. God said to Abram, go. And God doesn't just say, he doesn't tell him where to go. He doesn't tell him how to go. He just says, go. And it's amazing to me how in his prayerful willingness, Abram just goes and the world is then changed forever. Abraham had a willingness to say yes. You may be familiar with another story of prayerful willingness. This one's about Moses, and he, like Abraham, was not a perfect man. In fact, Moses was a murderer who had fled justice to go live in the desert to flee. His story's in Exodus, chapters 3 and 4, where it tells the story of how Moses encounters God in the midst of a burning bush. Perhaps you remember that story. Like Abraham, Moses stopped to listen to God and experience God's voice. Like Abraham, God spoke to Moses and said, go. God wanted Moses to go back to Egypt, to go back to where he had committed the crime, to go confront Moses. Moses to confront the Pharaoh. And Moses was to go. The very person who could condemn him to death was the Pharaoh. And he says, go back to that place. Go to the place where you committed murder, Moses. Let's be honest, would you have gone back? I wouldn't have. Remember a moment ago, though, I mentioned that prayer requires courage. And this is the type of courage, though, that I'm talking about. Moses wasn't as quick as Abraham, of course, to just go and say, yes, God, I'll go. But Moses actually argued with God. And he gave God a whole bunch of excuses, and we've done that, right? But eventually, Moses reluctantly says yes, because Moses became a prayerfully willing individual, and then he changed the world forever. After Moses' death, Moses the murderer, Moses the reluctant follower of God, is described in Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 to 12 in this way. Never since has there risen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent to him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. And for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of Israel. There was no prophet like Moses who saw God face to face. And yet Moses became everything God had created him to be. Three world religions acknowledge the importance and the significance of Abraham and Moses. Even Lewis Millett from Maine would go, I can't help but wonder, were these people that special? Were they really different than you and I? It's possible, is it, to speak to God today like they did, to hear his voice? Well, the answer is yes. These gentlemen were veterans who served God to protect country, family, and the future of God's kingdom on earth. And God asks each of us to do the same today. Yes, you and I are just as special. Yes, they were different in certain ways, but only because they took time to listen to God's voice and had the courage to go and act on God's request. Many of us, we just simply walk past the burning bush. It's there, it's all aflame, but we just walk past it. At one point in my own life, I listened, but I didn't go the way that God wanted me to go. I took what I thought was an easier path. But in truth, it was actually much harder. Eventually, when my own life seemed to be wrecked with despair, I had no other option than to turn my face towards God and listen. And as I sat in the cold in Michigan at the time, when my body felt just as numb as it did when I was outside, I listened to God for the first time in a long time. And he called me and he said, go. And here I am today, standing before you. So a young, wealthy man was asked by Jesus to go, but he couldn't bring himself to trust God enough with all his possessions to follow Jesus. This young man's burdens were so heavy that he couldn't let go of them. At the point in my life where I had nothing to let go of, I had no other option than to go. The young man lacked courage. And it takes courage to let go and let God. He lacked the desire to become more prayerfully willing. But you do not have to be like that young man. If you're wondering, how do I become more prayerfully willing? All you need to do is take time to stop and listen for the voice of God. There's a story about a father who asks for his son to be healed. The healer tells the father, everything is possible for one who believes. Mark 9, verse 23. Immediately the father cries out, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Again, that's Mark 9, 24. And the man named Jesus, he reaches out and he heals the son, and he hears these words again from Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Prayerful willingness doesn't require perfection and total and complete belief in God. Doubt does not disqualify you from being a prayerfully willing individual. All you need to do is believe that everything is possible. So let me give you a simple prayer like the one the Father shared with Jesus. Lord, I want to believe. In the midst of my doubts, help me believe you care, that you listen, that you speak even to someone like me. Lord, I want to believe. So begin slowly. You don't have to commit to spending an hour in prayer every morning. That's just something you can build up to. But start with something realistic. Perhaps you commit to 5 minutes, just 5 minutes spending time in silence. And create a plan. It can actually be fun if you plan things out. Maybe you like doing watercoloring. Maybe you like spending time drawing. Maybe you like just time on a golf course. As you're sitting there ready to putt, 5 minutes. Your partner's maybe looking at you going, why has he taken so long? He's praying for that it makes it in the hole, right? They'll get it. But just spend time and listen. Perhaps it's on your way home today from church. You're in the car and maybe you just pause. But please don't close your eyes while you're driving. Perhaps you turn off the radio or the computer or the cell phone for 5 minutes. Maybe you just turn off the TV for 10 minutes and just sit in silence and listen. But you might be saying, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. It's funny how people will tell me the most amazing things. The one thing that I've heard the most is that people use their bathroom for a prayer closet. But think about it. You're in the shower. What else do you have to think about? Just listen. Listen to the water. Listen to God. Don't know how to start? Start with this. Thank you, God. I want to believe. Perhaps you just say, what do you want me to do? And then just listen. You'll be surprised what will be revealed to you in prayer. I invite you to join us on Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We're in the office. We're going to learn this week a little bit more about prayer, so please come and join us. It's just great to be able to hear how other people, their experiences, and learn from each other. And throughout the week, I want you to continue to develop this heart that is grounded in gratitude and revealed through prayer. And then next Sunday when we come back, we're going to hear the final step, that S in our GPS, which is being sealed by faith. In the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, there's a prayer known as the Shema. The Shema includes the most important commandment. We are to love God with our whole being. And Jesus links this core truth within Judaism with the love of neighbor in Matthew 22. What God wants you to hear are these words, that love is a sign of God's grace toward you. And love is our prayerful willingness to draw closer to God. I'm going to repeat that. Love is a sign of God's grace towards you. And love is our prayerful willingness to draw closer to God. So let me close with the words from the Shema. Let us pray. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorstep of your house and on your gates. Amen.